Hey, this is Lucho. That was Republica. And in a second, I'm going to hand over to Ian Lee, who is joined by the band for the next hour. First, here's a couple of records they've picked on Absolute Radio 90s.
This is Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s with Republica, which is very, very exciting. It's nice to meet you, boys and girls.
Thank
by
you
the
very
way.
Much.
I've got to, Saffron, I've got to say it. I had such a crush on you back in the day. I've said it. I've got sorry, fellas. I liked you too as well, but if I'm being honest, I was the eyes.
I'm good at ironing shirts.
Yes. now that we've got that out of the way, I feel I can breathe again. Okay, listen, we've just had Scooby Snacks, the fun-loving criminal. Tim, you chose.
Yes, absolutely.
That, I think. Why?
Because we were big fans of theirs. We met them when we first went to the States years ago.
Yeah.
We got stuck in New York because the band we were supporting, one of them guys got ill, so we got delayed by a week. So we picked up the odd gig here and there. One of them ended up being a roller skating AIDS benefit.
Wow.
On Pier 66. And one of the other bands playing there was Fun Loving Criminals.
Yeah.
And Scooby Snacks had just come out in the UK, and we bumped into them there, and just from that point onwards, we kept bumping into them all over the place, all around the States, and then eventually toured with them over here and in Europe, so...
Huey, one of the nicest blokes
in the world,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Although I was watching... Isn't it funny how things work out? I was watching Sky 3 the other day, and there was Huey hosting a show about people's crazy pets.
Yeah, with Lisa Tarbuck.
It's weird how the world turns.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have
seen him as a dog
fancier. What's going on there? What were they like to kind of tour with? Was that
fun?
Because they have an image, don't they?
Yeah, no, they were good. They were really good laugh to hang around with. And
yeah, they were. Then they kind of... kind of opened doors, didn't they?
Yeah.
They kind of had that.
They had a bit more gumption than we did.
Right.
So we used to follow them around. They knew a lot more people than we did, even in this country. So.
And Sneaker Pimps. Saffron, that was you, wasn't it? Six Underground. You chose...
Yeah, I mean, it's just a classic record.
Yeah.
I love that. And it just came out at the time where, you know, electronica, you know, that crossover, dance and rock. And it's just a hell of a sexy record, you know. The guy, Chris, who wrote it, and he's got a new band actually called IMX, which are great.
Right.
And I just loved it. And again, at the time, you know, the female voices were getting played on the radio.
Yeah.
So, and also that record was being played when we were touring in America quite a lot. So, yeah, it gives me a nice memory.
I'll be honest, I'd forgotten that song. And then I just listened, well, we heard it just then. And it's got that lovely kind of just that sound and that whole feel to it is kind of quite special.
Yeah.
But you're right, the sort of early 90s, mid-90s, there were loads of girls...
There certainly
front
were.
And rock bands.
It was
and stuff.
Fantastic, yeah, for the first time. And you know, there was Shirley Manson, you know, the Garbage, you know, had obviously the Elasticas and Sleepers and stuff like that. But in America you had Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just a really, really exciting time for women. You know, and not just fronting bands, but you know, writing songs and actively having a say and stuff. So it was very exciting.
Do you remember Echobelly?
I do.
Any tension therapy. Between you? You lot, was there any fighting between Republica and Echobelly?
No, not at all. They're great. Some Great Things. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was a wonderful
song.
That's
a brilliant pop song.
Yeah.
Dark Therapy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any bands? Let's ask the question. I know what the answer's going to be because you're all very nice people. Were there any bands that you didn't get on with?
Aqua.
It's true. They didn't like us.
Were you Barbie Girl?
Yeah, exactly.
But what happened between you and Aqua?
Know, there was some argument about haircuts. I don't know.
Audio Web as well. Audio Web we didn't get on with. We toured with them and there was a bit of sort of acrimoniousness at the end of the tour.
Oh,
we were doing a tour and there was... It was us and Olive. And by the end of the tour, the headline band were...
Olive.
No, by the end of the tour, Olive were number one and they were on last.
Right.
They were on first.
Yeah.
We were, I don't know,
high in the middle of things.
The bill was completely changed.
That was a power shift.
Chart position, yeah.
Fantastic.
But the Aqua thing was... Quite nasty.
Well, we've got Aqua coming in now.
We were banned from Denmark. But we'd never been there before, so I thought that was the first.
Because you had
banned
a row
from
with Aqua.
A country because we'd never actually been there
yet.
You don't
want to go to Denmark. It's quite a boring place.
I've never been.
Well, you're not allowed
there. I don't
think
I'd be let in. They might think I was a singer of Aqua. Well, well done.
I thought you were going to say, oh, no, we got on well with everyone. Everyone was loving back then. OK, listen, let's have two more songs. We've got Massive Attack, Unfinished Sympathy, I can never say that right, and Blur and Song 2, so listen to those. This is Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s with Republica. Who chose Massive Attack?
I did.
Why?
Because I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from Blue Lines, which is an absolute masterpiece album, onwards. Again, you know, with using Shara Nelson, I mean, what a beautiful song.
Mm.
And, you know, and video, classic video. And also at the time, I remember I was in a band called Enjoy before, which was like a dance group, and I remember we were doing lots of raves,
yes.
And we were touring with a Prodigy, and we were up and down the M25, and you know, we got stuck in a snowdrift, and this song was playing on the radio, and we couldn't get out of where we were, and I was found asleep underneath one of the keyboards.
Oh, bless you! did you actually got snowed in? You couldn't get you, there was no escape.
No, there was no escape from Enjoy.
And that song wasn't on a loop, was it? Because I mean, it's good.
It was actually on the loop.
You've got a little bit mad with it over and
yeah,
over again.
Yeah, I loved it.
Surely, I mean, it's nice, but. Mm. Come on. And Blur, Song 2.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
It is a brilliant song again. And it was just, I think, very interesting for us because we toured America quite a lot and we came back to England and there was this Britpop thing. It was so exciting to be in British music, you know, in the 90s. And, you know, the Oasis.
It was exciting to be listening to British music in the 90s as well. It suddenly got a kick up the arse and became really, really cool again.
And it, you know, it was really exciting as well as being in a band. It was very exciting to be around, you know, all the other groups. And, you know, we sort of bumped into Blur and Oasis and people like that along the way. And I once got actually, we were got lost in a corridor behind backstage at MTV with Damon Albarn, but also one of the Spice Girls and the Prodigy.
I love it. That's so weird. That's kind of like a proper Spinal Tap.
Proper.
Wait, which way is the stage?
And they were following me, though. Go figure.
You mentioned the States a couple of times. How big did you get in the States? Did it happen? Did you sell lots of records? Or
yeah, we
did.
We got to number one at Alternative Rock.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play. Well done.
For a while, and I think we
Ocean Colour Scene supported us.
Yeah,
that was
it. It was so exciting over there.
Ice Cream flowered up most to support me then, and I'd see him like sort of five, 6 years later in the States, and they're still supporting me, so I had to rub it in.
They've got a great ethic over there. Is that, and obviously to actually get big in America, you have to go to every state.
Yeah.
But it is so exciting because we went over there basically as underdogs, and we'd, you know, been touring for a few years over here, and they just loved, you know, we were just so happy to be touring. We couldn't believe that, you know, 2,000 kids would pay for a ticket in Birmingham, Alabama to see us. And also over there, it's based on, the chart's based on radio, which is wonderful because that's kind of what unites everybody there. And so we just went all around, and we were just really happy to be that and to be playing and to meet people. And it was great because every city we went to, they playlist us, you know.
So that's very exciting.
And it was really, it really was.
Yeah.
We couldn't get arrested over here before we went there. So it was amazing.
Really? So you kind of were doing the business there before it kicked off in the UK?
Yeah, we'd had a couple of singles out and we were sort of touring regularly, but nothing had really taken off in any way by that point.
Mm. So what was the key moment then it did take off over here?
When we came back from the States and put ready to go out over here, because we went out in the States first.
Right.
And from that point onwards, it just sort of took off from that.
Tim, you mentioned Flowered Up. When's the Flowered Up reunion?
Unfortunately, the lead singer died last year.
So I'm sorry.
That won't be happening. That's all right. It's a hell of a funeral.
Did you see? Not suggesting you do this for a moment, but there was a fantastic program last year, a couple of years ago on MTV, where they looked for a new singer for INXS.
Oh God, no!
It was painful.
Who got the job?
Some guy you've never heard of. They recorded some new songs and went on tour, and it was just like, why are you doing this? Please, let them rest in peace. Okay, let's go on to take my foot out of my mouth. Let's go on to two more songs we've got. We got Left Field and Open Up. And The Cure, Friday I'm in Love. Yeah. Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s with Republica. Why The Cure? Because if I'm honest, when I was growing up, I never really liked The Cure. And I think it's because my sister used to like them. My older sister used to like The Cure. So I did that thing of going, well, if you're liking that, I'm going to like something completely different. So I ended up liking The Monkees. That was my thing. But that's by the by. But what is so special about The Cure?
How can you not like The Cure, Ian?
Well, I like that song. I just didn't...
We kind of like them.
Thank you for interrupting there and saving me.
Just to help
They're
you out. There.
Brilliant. Give
it
them another
It was the kind
listen.
Of quite early Cure, when we were really kind of young at school and stuff. The first kind of three albums were the ones which that I really connected
yeah.
with. And
yeah.
After that.
It was the Guy Liner that did it for us.
Yeah, yeah. Things like Killing an Arab is a great song. It's a great
song. Like that.
That period is what I'm really talking about. Of course, there are things like. Friday I'm in Love is a great pop song.
Yeah.
But I kind of lost the album thing with them a bit.
Right.
And they become a bit more of a singles thing for me then. But
I remember I had to host the Cure Awards one year. And even though I'm not a fan of the Cure, Robert Smith was there. And he's a big lad, isn't he? He's towering. I just remember thinking... Robert Smith from The Cure. And he came and said hello, and he had no reason to come and say hello, and he was very polite and very nice and very chatty and seems like a nice... In fact, I saw a picture of you on the internet with him. So are you friends with him?
Well, he phoned me up one day, and I used to go out with somebody called Robert Smith. Now, I thought it was him. So I said, what do you want? And he said, oh, and no, it's Robert Smith from The Cure. And at that point, my voice rose about three octaves and I became Mariah Carey. I was like, oh, from The Cure. And he asked me to do a duet with him, which I went to do. And it was brilliant. And it was a great day of my life. And I recorded a duet and it got put out on their greatest hits, The Cure Greatest Hits. And I got to do a couple of shows.
Hey, fantastic.
Which was a great honour. And yeah, brilliant.
So lucky it wasn't that ex-boyfriend phoning up there. That would have been...
God, it wasn't.
Yeah. Tim, you chose Left Field.
Yes. Always one of my favourite bands of the 90s.
Yeah.
I was really into sort of Left Field and Underworld and Fluke and that sort of the sort of progressive side of dance music as it was at that point. But when they came out with this with John Lydon on it as well, it's just like it just had all the energy and aggression and everything was just all packed into one thing. It just sort of summed up that period of time for me. Really.
It's a great vocal from Lydon, and he's always, you know, after the Sex Pistols, everyone was like, okay, well that's them gone, but he just keeps you can't keep him down. He just keeps popping up and surprising people.
Back. I mean, Pillar touring again this year, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, he's still at it. So
fair play. I liked it when he did those butter adverts, and he got really knocked for it. I can't think of anything more punk than
apparently
doing an
he did
advert.
It to get the money so he could put Pillback together for the tour for last year. But I mean, it's not very punk though. But.
Well, I don't, you know, he's taking the money off the man. It's what the Pistols did.
I know, but I doubt he's got many old punks that sort of thank him for doing that. Really, it just sort of debases what they're all about.
Yeah, I suppose. Bless him, Saffron. You're waving your hands. Do you want to say something? You're right. Do you need to go to the loo?
I'm fine. Thank
you. All right, so I'm just
getting excited about. Smashing Pumpkins and Prodigy.
We got plenty of time yet. We'll get there eventually. Right, we got. What have we got now? Okay, let's rattle through these. We got Daft Punk. Oh, and Pulp and Babies. I like this one. This is Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s. I've got Republica here with me. Daft Punk, Tim.
Yes, Da Funk.
Da Funk,
yeah. No, it just again one of those sort of seminal records. It just smacks you straight in the face. It's got a real simplicity about it, but it's just got a real head in your speaker type.
Well,
yeah,
that French thing that happened at the time.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, I did originally on the list that we put down, I put any Daft Punk because I just love them a bit.
Yeah.
But I just think the way they do their videos, they keep themselves to themselves, and just. I just really love the ethic behind them.
Now, you mentioned videos, but Republica videos. How? Because in the 90s, that was when videos were kind of at their peak, I think.
Well, we spent a few grand on videos. Yeah.
How much did you spend?
Oh, God, no.
It must have been tens of thousands, surely. <didn't it?
laughs> And some, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't get mentioned in the House of Commons. we got mentioned because the editing was so close that people were kind of having
and
a fit. And someone actually brought it up in the House of Commons.
And also in the States, with the MTV, they did a new law, because we had done this edit of Ready to Go, and it was like a blip vert. It was very fast, and I loved it. But they said it might cause a lot of, suing for damages, because people having epileptic fits.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to edit it down in the end. And that was about the 8th video we'd done anyway of it.
Jeez.
Because when we first started, they said, oh, you know, just basically go get your friend to film you, you know, for like 100
right.
quid or something.
Yeah.
And
it went up and up.
And up. Yeah.
There's a mad version of that video on YouTube with one of the remixes that we did for Ready to Go.
Yeah.
That somebody got hold of and
yeah.
cut it with the new cut it with the old video.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and put great. It together. It looks great. It's sort of like made me realise how good it was.
Do you ever look back though and think, why did we spend so much money? All that money, where's it gone?
Often.
That's
no,
what it's
it was
all about.
Just what you did in those
yeah,
days.
It was things to do at the time.
Yeah, it was. You didn't and really know. You didn't really know how much it was costing you.
No, right, you didn't really know until later on.
Yeah,
you didn't really realise that if you didn't spend it on that, you might get it yourself.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, and also, now you kind yeah, of realise
and especially like you say with MTV and like with it, especially and you know in the States when you're going round and round touring with different states
yeah.
and you get playlists on different radio stations. But the other thing, of course, that unites them is MTV. So we were so lucky that they actually playlisted our video on MTV at the same time they playlisted the radio. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
We'd be walking down a street in, you know, Oklahoma or something, and people go, are you guys in Republica? Or in some truck stop, you know, these
That's
huge
mad.
Truckers. And we really freaked us out to start with. We couldn't really understand it.
Well, some of those bands, you know, even though they're big hits in the 90s, they kind of looked a little bit anonymous, where if you had the very distinctive, you know, your hair,
exactly.
people are going to
yeah.
register that straight away.
Yeah.
So
it was great.
They're fantastic.
It's walking strange. Past grain silos with cars pulling up.
Yeah.
You guys in Republica, we saw you in Tulsa 2 days ago.
Pulp Babies as well. That's a good choice.
Well, we told us to think of some funny stories, and I remember it's not that funny, but it's I was seeing Pulp before they were huge, and they were supporting some friends, St Etienne, who's Sarah,
yeah,
who's also from Windsor.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
And,
I should say we share a connection that you're from Windsor and I'm from Slough, so we're in many ways we're rivals. But I didn't know Sarah was from there. Okay.
And, some people need a passport.
To yeah, they do. Yeah.
And Pulp were playing Babies, and they were just getting to that kind of climax of the song where he goes, I only went with her because she looks like you. Good God. And the electricity for the building cut out completely. So it just went chucked into darkness. And it took them about 20 minutes to get this all together. And Jarvis just came on at the end to say he wouldn't be able to carry on, but thanks and everything. And he said, it was a bit like being castrated at the point of orgasm. He was, and they were really working up a lather there, and then it was just like...
Because Babies was kind of... That was when they really started going from the... I mean, I remember getting The Enemy every week, and you'd look at the indie top 10, and one of my favourite bands at the time were The Man from Del Monte. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
I used to love that. And Pulp were always sort of number one in the indie, and they just, them round Babies, were just starting to get into the real charts, you know, and it was...
Man from Del Monte, they from Manchester?
They were from Manchester, yeah.
They went to Polly up there, and they were always playing...
Yeah, they were managed by John Ronson, who now does loads of sort of documentaries on Radio 4 and stuff like that. I used to love the Man from Del Monte. Okay, listen, let's move on. We've got Firestarter, the Prodigy, good choice. And the Wanna Dies, You and Me song. Let's have a listen. Always when we fight. This is Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s with Johnny, Tim and Saffron from Republica. Firestarter. That's a good song, isn't it?
It's a brilliant song, yeah. We love Prodigy. I mean, they were friends of mine for many moons ago in the acid house scene.
Yeah.
And I was in a group called Enjoy. And us and the Prodigy, we did things called PAs in those days. And on the underground dance scene, you know. And for a few years. And joined Republica. And those guys, you know, carried on. And, you know, for me, this is a landmark for them. And I just remember, you know, watching and hearing
great.
The radios. It's like,
when they
so
were
proud
on
of them.
Top of the Pops with that, you could just hear every parent in the country going,
what's this?
Yeah. You know, it was.
It was
like,
exciting. Yeah. It was every now and then. It's not happened for a while. But every now and then, a song or a kind of movement or something will happen that really defines the kids and separates them from the parents. And that was it.
It was, wasn't it?
Well, the papers were getting musicologists to say that, like, it couldn't be classed as music because you couldn't play it on a piano. It was hilarious. Yeah.
Mm. Have you heard the Gene Simmons from Kiss version of Firestarter?
No.
Don't bother, it's terrible.
I
got to sing a duet with Keith on the Fat of the Land album. We did an L7 cover called Feel My Fire, so I'm on the same.
You're popping
album
up on everyone's albums. Listen, I saw you play the session earlier on and you had a new Republica song. Is there a new album, singles, what's happening?
Yeah, we're working on a new album at the moment. We hope to have an EP out by the autumn because we've got some dates. We're doing some club dates around the country and we're doing a London Islington Academy on October the 13th.
Fantastic.
So everybody.
I have dates here. We've got that's on October the 13th. We've got Reading Sub 89 on the 12th. I'm going backwards, but this is all in October. Robin 2 in Bilston on the 11th. The Tivoli in Buckley on the 10th. The Assembly Rooms in Leamington on the 9th. And Mr. Kipps in Poole.
Yes.
Mr. Kipps.
Absolutely fantastic place. I've never been there, but I bet it is.
and the song you played for us was Suck Baby Suck.
Suck Baby Suck.
It was good.
Thank you.
There's always that worry when a band says, here's a new one. You're thinking, is it? But it was good.
Thank you. We've got quite a few new ones, but we haven't done them live. So that actually was an exclusive.
It was a world premiere.
For Absolute, because we've never even done that, played it before, apart from rehearsed it. So thank you for that.
Oh, that was great. Well done.
We've got quite a good few new songs. So we're looking forward to playing them out live.
All right, exciting times. Exciting. Yes. Republica.com, I'm guessing, is the place to go to get all the info and all of that.
MySpaces, you name it, we've got them
all. do you tweet?
We do tweet a little, yes. Not massively, so...
I tweet.
That's on our behalf.
You're the geek of the band.
I am the geek of the band,
yes. It's ultimately pointless, yes, but it's very addictive.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we've got two more songs. Let's have the next one. It's Sub Sub Ain't No Love. This is Ian Lee on Absolute Radio 90s with Republica. Sub Sub, Ain't No Love.
Yeah, well, going back years, we've known Jez, who was Sub Sub originally, and they're now Doves. We've known him for donkey's years. He's played on both Republica albums, doing little bits of guitar for us, and Johnny met him in Manchester when he was sort of 16, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we've known him forever. But years ago, I was over in France doing an album, working on an album with Johnny's, and Jez was out there. And he had this little cassette. We were having a bit of a demo clash. I was playing some flowered up stuff that we'd sort of recently recorded, and then he dragged this little ditty out called Ain't No Love. It didn't have any vocals on it at the time, but it was just brilliant.
Yeah.
It was outstanding. He
wiped the floor with
this.
I've just got this little thing.
And it was this amazing piece of music.
And he gave me a cassette of it in the end, which I think I've still got at home somewhere. I'd love to dig it out. Mm. But it was like his bedroom demo of it.
Mm.
But even at that stage, it was an unquestionable hit.
Fantastic.
He's a lovely bloke. He's
damn people with talent doing good things.
And he's got it in spades as well.
Yeah, he's very talented.
So Republica, I like the way you're describing yourself as reactivated.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a much better way of doing this. And so you've got these gigs, you've got to have these new songs coming out, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Is there a long-term plan, or are you just going to see what happens, or how's it going to go?
Yeah, we had such a big response, you know, and people wanting us to do stuff again.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we re-recorded Ready to Go.
Of course.
Recreated it with a friend of ours, Andy Gray, and Alan Mulder also, who's a brilliant producer and mixer, did a mix for us. He also did the Smashing Pumpkins album, which tonight was on Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. Yeah. So it was great. We got to work with him. And so we thought, hey, why don't, you know, we do some new songs, do some shows, and then, you know, see what happens.
It's exciting, man. I'm not just saying this. I asked if I could come and do this gig because I like you lot. And so when I heard Republica around, I was like, is there any chance I could come and I wouldn't mind doing that? That would be fun. So I think it's really good, you know, that you're back. And I thought the session today... Again, there's always that thing when bands get back together, you always think it can sound a little bit Yeah, ropey, if yeah, I'm
to
honest.
Say the least.
But it didn't. It sounded brilliant. And I think it's really exciting that you're back. So, you know, I wish you the very best
well,
of luck with
we've always been kind of in touch with each other, you know.
There was no big falling out or anything.
No,
it
was like that. Really.
Okay.
It just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can fade back in.
Yes.
Just let everyone know.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, we'll support you all the way. And if you have new stuff, then do send it on and we'll play it, of course.
We'd love
great. Thank you so much.
The last song, Smashing Pumpkins, tonight. Do you want to quickly say why you've chosen this?
Well, I think you were saying about the word define, and Johnny, when we were in America in New York, and I just remember one evening, we were in Times Square in the hotel, and he came running and grabbed me, said, Zaf, you've got to come and see this. We've arrived.
And there was this enormous poster of us in Times Square. No, more than a poster, it was
a billboard.
Of us in...
On top of
and
a
goes,
shop.
That's us. And it was next to... you know, a billboard of
Smashing Pumpkins
and the Melancholy Infinite Sadness. So I thought, night, you know, we're amongst, you know, good
that
company.
Song, that song tonight, it kind of reminds me of when we were in New York that time when it was all really obviously beginning to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was undeniably beginning to happen. And that kind of tension that song's got just will always remind me of.
And it was so exciting as well, because stateside there was the whole thing happening as well, you know, and great time for bands and great songs, you know. I was listening to Screaming Trees and obviously Nirvana and Soundgarden, people, things like that. But the Smashing Pumpkins, I think, with that song really defined it, and 1979 too. But as well, tonight is the greatest song, you know.
Well, Johnny, Tim Saffron, it's very nice to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in. I wish you all the very best of luck, and I hope you have a lot of fun. Let's finish with the Smashing Pumpkins tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.